is The Wallflowers, covering The Beatles, I'm Looking Through You, off of a really, really great soundtrack, the I Am Sam soundtrack. Awesome Beatles covers. Seriously, if you have never heard of it, you should go check it out. Anyways. So here I am again. Another morning. Lots of Will and Grace. Sometimes it's the only thing that's left on TV. And you know those days. I don't know. I didn't have any real plan for anything that I wanted to talk about. I just kind of, I don't know. I've got a heap of laundry on top of my bed that I'll have to get rid of before any sleeping can be done. I guess just a lot of relationship-esque or relationship-related things have been happening. Just in my immediate cosmic vicinity, I guess, is the best way to put it. Basically, there's been a lot of, a lot of me being aware of relationships, or lack thereof, or permutations of, or, you know, whatever. It's been coming up. And, you know, it's just one of those things that you do think a lot about. Maybe this is me being a little uncomfortably honest with myself, but it is one of those things that just comes up a lot in my head. It pops up, and it makes itself known. And there's no real way to escape from it either. The thing is, with me, outness is kind of variable, just because my parents have variable attitudes towards it. And so, I guess the concept of treating me like I'm out is slowly impressing itself upon my parents. I guess that's what you say. And it's just been this sort of gradual process of acclimating them to this thought. To this open possible thought. Because, you know, with a lot of parents, especially my parents in particular, there is a tendency to dwell particularly on things that couldn't have been. And me being quote-unquote normal, quote-unquote, just typical, standard kid, is a bit rough. I think my parents, more than anything else, are just afraid of being exceptional. In the sense that people will make an exception, not in the sense of, you know, being special, la-di-da. I just think it's my parents, a lot of their attitudes and actions are really rooted in this sort of protective desire. And the main issue with that just comes with the fact that, they spent a lot of time while I was young trying to protect me. Maybe because I just seemed a little different from my sisters, maybe just because they kind of knew I would present different problems, I guess, as a child. Like every kid presents problems for their parents. And growing up is just sort of, you know, the parents and the kids coming together to figure out how to fix that. But I guess they just weren't expected to have these different problems come up for them. And that's totally not related to relationships. In a way it is, because there was a lot of talk about my siblings' relationships during the course of the Thanksgiving trip, which is the context from which I'm drawing a lot of this discussion, by the way. I probably should have mentioned that earlier. I feel like maybe it's just... I don't know. I guess I just do have this big... There's a real issue of things not lining up. Like, my expectations of my future and what really will be possible, those not lining up. And a big part of that is a relationship with another person. Just because... I'm not saying that a relationship is particularly indicative of success or security or whatever, but, I mean, it definitely helps. It definitely makes you feel like you understand where you are and where you're growing. And, I mean, yeah, if I had to say, yeah, I miss it. But I'm slowly reaching the point where I'm more cognizant of the feeling than of, I don't want to say that I'm more aware of the feeling than of the person I would have the feelings for, because that's totally not true. I guess I just seems like I'm very aware of the fact that relationships are a thing that activate certain, you know, that hits certain bases for me, like on a personality, like security level. Like when I'm in a relationship, I do feel a certain sense of my life's in order and things are okay. And it's not out of this, like, urge to complete myself, blah, blah, blah. Like, it's totally not even that. It's, I don't know, I guess it's the fact that I expect myself to be able to have a mature, stable relationship, I guess. And, you know, looking back on it, let's be honest, like, my relationships have been marked on my part by a notable lack of maturity, so I can't really blame anyone. I just hate that. Like, that blame always comes up either unintentionally or under the guise of unintentionally, of being unintentional, you know? Like, I just feel like at the very root of it, I want to blame someone. Just because, you know, causality is easier to explain away than, you know, real complexity. It's just, you know, I'd rather say A led to B, you know, than because of A during B while C was happening and D affected me and then E became a priority. I mean, it's that's how it really is, but, you know, it's stressful to think of your life as confusing. You know, that you yourself are confused by it. And so, you know, the desire to have a discrete source of blame is, I mean, it's strong. It's strong. Just because it makes you feel like you've mastered some part of your own, the private cosmos, you know. I mean, what does that mean, really, for my ability to find some guy and enter into a stable relationship? Like, really, what does all this talking get me? I mean, I don't want to think of myself, like, as some smarty pants, but I honestly tend to intellectualize relationships. I tend to be really analytical. And, I mean, you know, I can't figure out if that's mature or immature. Because sometimes when I'm really analytical, I'm practical about things. I'm more practical about things. I'm, you know, more cautious, I would say. And when I'm, you know, when I'm not, and sometimes it makes me, like, it makes me realize how, it's a very metacognitive thing, I guess. It's just, like, I'll realize how much I'm thinking about it and try to let go, and then, you know, it's just, like, which, you know, it's just a real danger of extremes. And I was talking to, Victoria, who I saw, you know, she's now up here at Cal, a year below me, and I used to see her, you know, quite often around campus in high school, I remember. I gave her shit about plenty of things, she gave me shit back, I don't know how it works. I don't know, we were just talking today about, I don't know, just that whole thing, you know, that whole game of awareness and not wanting to be self-conscious, but, like, you know, it's, how far does being self-possessed and self-aware, you know, is that really from being self-conscious? You know, what causes one to be, you know, this great trait and the other to be, you know, like, some awkward ground state, you know? I just feel like, you know, relationships for me, and I hope for a lot of other people, and if so, please, God, tell me, just because I would love the confirmation. I would die. But, I don't know, relationships are just a really big mindfuck. Just because it just seems like you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't, and you just, you know, you think yourself into these corners, and then you just pull yourself apart from the inside, and you don't know what to do about it. Like, there's this sense of, like, I don't know, this indescribable sense of futility, you know, when you see things start to go bad. And, you know, it's just this really, really crushing thing. And I just wonder, you know, who else out there is dealing with this? Am I really that unique? Because I don't think so. You know, what am I supposed to say? You know, I've burned up, I'm almost reaching a quarter of an hour just sitting here and talking and just brain dumping about relationships. And, you know, it feels, you just really never know how to feel when you think about this. Like, that's, and that's just another part of the mindfuck. You know, you just, by the end of it, you're tired, and you really don't have anything left to do with it. And the very last part of the mindfuck is that it stays there, even through your complete emotional and mental exhaustion. It just stays there. And, I don't know, I guess it makes you do crazy things, like stay up at 2 in the morning and record a random podcast to an audience of no one. I guess it makes you do crazy things. And it's just, I don't know, maybe all part of the good old-fashioned human condition. I'd really, really love to know what somebody thought. Like, if somebody was actually crazy enough to listen through this whole thing. You know, yeah, seriously, send me a message. Tell me if you listened to this whole thing and whether or not it was of any purpose. Because it obviously
satisfies me on some level. And I just don't know, like, what do you do with that? You know? Yeah, I mean, that's all I can leave you with, other than a song. And here it is, Cherry Lips Go Baby Go by Garbage, off of their last full album, Beautiful Garbage. And good night.
She gave you everything she had, but she was young and dumb. She just turned 21. She didn't care to hang around. So when the shit came down, while she was nowhere to be found, this life can turn a good girl bad. She was the sweetest thing that you had ever seen. You're such a delicate boy in the hysterical realm of an emotional. You could make grown men gasp when you'd go walking past them in your hot pants and high heels. They could not believe that such a body was for real. It seemed like rainbows would appear. Whenever you came here, the clouds would disappear because you look just like a girl. Your baby blues would flash and suddenly a spell was cast. You're such a
yeah, we're looking at you. Go, baby, go, go. Oh.